It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is David Masters this evening. Roy Masters taking the night off. Please feel free to call me at 1-800-866-8883. And for the first hour, we just have only a few lines available, so call me at 1-800-866-8883. Now, I'd like to make an offer, and that is if you have been listening to the show and you haven't wanted to call because, you know, you think maybe you'll get what my dad calls the Banaka blast, please call me because I'm user-friendly, let's put it that way. I like to listen to people, and I like to, you know, sort of get more into the wherefores and the whys of what's going on in your life. And also, if you're confused or don't understand some of the things that my dad, Roy Masters, says on the show, maybe I can help to clarify some of the things that he talks about. That's a really good opportunity for you to call 1-800-866-8883. I'd love to talk to you. And I guess I could tell you about myself. And that's important because I was having a conversation with my wife the other night about the meditation. And what I told her was that before I was 18 years old, I had several near-death accidents, very severe. And the third accident for me was the charm, because I came to the understanding that I had to change my life, that I really wasn't going to have many more chances. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I had to start meditating. And so my wife said to me, well, what do you mean you knew? I said, well, it's not like I think or I believe, or it's not a mental construct, knowing. It's something so very deep that it goes beyond sort of a definition, a linear definition. I absolutely knew that I had to meditate or my life would not last much longer. And so from that time that it occurred to me that I knew that I had to do something, I began. And I went down that path. And it was not easy and it wasn't hard, but it required commitment. The path of awakening is incremental. It unfolds one moment at a time. And along this path of awakening and along this journey, you are going to be challenged. The Bible says that that narrow is the path that leads to life, and few are those who find it, but broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go that way. The narrow path is the path that requires attention. It requires your focus and your concentration. And I was very committed from the very moment that I started. And this is sort of a character trait of mine, is that when I begin something, you can't pry me off of it. I won't. I'm unremovable, if that's a proper word, from things that I'm committed to. So at the age of around 18 years old, I began that path of meditating and self-observation. And that's really the crux of the issue. So the question to you is this. Are you ready now in your life to begin the process of self-observation so that you can stop this process of self-sabotage? Because this is what you're doing. When you're not self-observing, you're self-destroying. And you can't help but self-destruct, self-sabotage. It is counterintuitive for a person who will not be awakened you have to live your life in an unawakened condition. And so in that unawakened state, everything you do is counterintuitive. But once you start to awaken through self-observing, you begin to see yourself from a different point of view, from a different vantage point. And so if you want to understand a little bit more about what really meditation is and what happens, call 1-800-866-8883. I'm David Masters, sitting in this evening. Roy Masters taking the evening off. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
And welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. David Masters sitting in tonight all by myself. Roy Masters is taking the evening off. And I'm looking forward to talking to you at 1-800-866-8883. 1-800-866-8883. And I have a question for you, and that is this. I began having a conversation with my wife last night about commitment to meditation and the fact that I knew when I began at a very young age, I knew that I had to start changing my life. And I knew, because I grew up in a family that was a family that was really an unusual family, I would have to say, with my dad and having been around many interesting people throughout my early childhood and my teen years, I knew that my dad had something right, and I didn't quite understand what it was when I was young. But by the time I was, before I was 18 years old, I had nearly died in several very severe accidents, and it was time for me. I knew it was time for me to change. And what goes along with that is an understanding that you have to sort of give up the way of life that you're living. And I was willing to do that because I knew that if I didn't, it wouldn't last much longer. And that wasn't just fear that was operating in me. That was something else. There was a consciousness in me that allowed me to sort of look down the road of life and to see two potential futures. One, you know, filled with disaster and tragedy. And the other one, I couldn't see what was down that path. I had no idea where I was going to go, what I was going to end up doing. I didn't have any idea whatsoever, but I knew it would be better than the other potential path of suffering and unhappiness and misery. And so there's a realization that each person has to confront, I guess it is, and that is, are you willing to begin to give up the things that you're protecting, these identity issues that are inside of you, your habits, your addictions, your comforts, your excuses, your reasons, your stories about why, you know, you're a victim. There's so much that you begin to be required to divest yourself of. I mean, it doesn't all happen at once, obviously. It happens a little bit at a time. But the first truth that you begin to see, this truth about yourself, through self-observing, you begin to take on an objective perspective. objective in a sense that you're not involved with an outcome. See, when you're selfish, you can't help but become counterintuitive. You can't help but start to set yourself up to fail. Because when you think of yourself first and then everything else second, in other words, if you think of how everything affects you and your primary focus is on how you are being affected, regardless of how what you want or how you go about doing things and living your life has an effect on other people, well, then you begin to set up circumstances in your life that are going to create problems for yourself and other people. It's counterintuitive. Being selfish is counterintuitive. So when you begin the process of self-observing through the process of meditation, which is really all it is learning how to watch yourself. You have to learn how to do this. It's not something that, well, some people I think do have it naturally as children, and then we lose it. And then there are people that have it naturally as adults, and they never lose it. And I know that I was born with a gift of common sense and intuition. And I remember when I was a child, even when I was 7 or 8 or 9 years old, I could remember getting intuition about people that I shouldn't have anything to do with or hang around with. But then as I became more ego-focused in my life, as I became older, which is what happens to all of us as we grow out of being little kids and we become big kids and we begin to be concerned about how other people see us and how we fit in. And then we start to worry about whether or not we'll be accepted or rejected by our group, by our parents, by our peers, by our teachers, or whatever, whoever they may be. If we let those forces outside of us affect us, then the selfishness begins to take over. And the selfishness then robs you of this God-given awareness that you were born with, the natural ability to have compassion and have patience and have understanding, you know, empathy for other people. This, you lose all this. And then you go into the years of suffering, the painful years, where you are counterintuitive because you're self-focused and because everything has to do with how you feel and how things make you feel. And so your whole life begins to revolve around making sure that your feelings are being nurtured. So I'm asking you this because, you see, what I started to realize was that I was protecting certain aspects of my identity. And one of the first things that happened to me when I was about 14 years old, as I began to become conscious, is that I had an affected walk. You know, teenage years are very awkward. And I was a very self-conscious kid for a lot of reasons. Most, you know, many kids are. I think most kids are self-conscious. And so I would model myself after the tough guys in school because I didn't want people to, you know, the other guys in school to think I was a weakling. And I was a skinny little kid with big curly hair. And I was a target. So I affected this walk. I walked kind of like a tough guy. And I really worked on that for a couple of years from the time I was probably about 12 until I was about 14 years old. But then one day I became aware of myself walking. And I said, this is not my walk. This isn't me. This is somebody who I have faked or sort of I'm acting the part of a tough guy. Because inside I'm concerned that, you know, other people are going to see me as weak. And then in school, you know, there was a lot of rivalry. I mean, I used to get in fights at school when I was a teenager. The kids would pick on me and they'd try to take my lunch money and they'd try to boss me around and tell me what to do. And I wouldn't have any of that because, you know, I came from a home where my dad wasn't a wimp. So I did get into fights and squabbles, but most of the time my facade kind of kept people at a distance, those kind of guys that would think they could pick on you. You know, they didn't see me as the kind of kid that could be picked on very easily. But some did anyway. But my consciousness began to grow as I started to accept the fact that I was being phony. I was fake. That walk, you know, you see it today in the popular culture. You know, the gang look, the way that they walk when they sway their hands and they put their hands together with their sign language. And, you know, the way the rap stars sing. All of this is an act. See, to show people how cool they are and how hip they are and how powerful their message is. And they're affected and the way they talk. And you see, all of this is affected behavior. It's not real. See, if you strip away all that, the question is, who is the person below what they have, the persona that they've created for themselves? You see? And so we have this identity, and we all have it. It's built out of reacting to pressure or being bullied and becoming fearful of being bullied and learning how to appease other people and get along. We build these false identities. And this, in a sense, is kind of selfish. It's a survival instinct, no doubt. I mean, who isn't in a survival instinct? You know, you get thrown into a public school, especially today, as a kid. But even back when I was, you know, 15, 12, 13, 14 years old, there were the bullies, the mean kids. They didn't tolerate the bullies as much as they do today, because everybody's a bully almost today. But you come from a home environment. You know, many people, most people, have not had a loving father and mother relationship. You know, they've come from a dysfunctional, everyone has come from a dysfunctional world at some level. And even the people that had what looked like the perfect relationships and the perfect home and the perfect family, they had secrets about, you know, what was going on in their world that they didn't want other people, especially people who have to be the standard bearers for their neighborhood or the social, you know, the social debutantes, the people who other people looked up to, you know, the preacher's family or the politician's family or the businessman's family. They don't want to have anything that goes on their family life reflect poorly upon them, because it affects the quality of their life, their business, their success. You know what I'm talking about. So you were probably one of those categories. Everybody was affected. And you had to build a personality to suit the environment that you were born into. Because most people were never allowed to become the person that they would have been if they had been allowed to grow up without the pressure to conform or without the, you know, the need to rebel. Every single person is a complex combination lock of conformity and rebellion. And both are imposters. Both aspects of that personality that you've built, the rebel or the conformist, they're both imposters. They are inauthentic. Because somewhere within there, inside, is a real you. A person that you were born and destined to be. That you've never been. And so if you've lived your life counterintuitively because of selfishness, and now everything has not worked out the way you thought it would, especially when you went into it. Everybody does things that they believe are right. Nobody does something that they know is wrong. Whatever you do, how stupid it may be, how evil it might be, in that moment it feels right. It seems right. But really, that's what selfishness tells you. Selfishness says to you, go ahead. See? 1-800-866-8883. Selfishness says, go ahead. Or selfishness says, no, 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 don't do that. See? For the sake of survival. Selfishness is always guiding you. But selfishness is counterintuitive. And ultimately, because what you're doing when you live a selfish life is you're nurturing a false identity, a false self. a self that is going to eventually crash and burn. See, relationship-wise, family-wise, business-wise, you've got to face the painful truth that you're not who you pretend to be. And you know what? Here's another thing that's kind of scary. Other people know it. See, you should look at yourself because other people look at you. Other people watch you. Other people can read you. They know what's going on inside of you, whether you think so or not. People know you better than you know yourself because you have convinced yourself. Every time you look in the mirror, you think, I'm getting old. Or, I look so tired. Or, wow, you look great. See, there's that voice in there talking to you all the time. There's some background talk, you know, the self-talk, condemning you or praising you. Isn't that weird if you think about it objectively, how you have a voice? Like, I give you a perfect example. My little boy, who is now 6 years old, often goes to sleep. You know, I kind of lay with him for a while, or I talk to him, or I tell him a story before he goes to bed while he's going to sleep. Give him something to think about. So sometimes I'll hear him sitting there going, and I say to him, who are you talking to? And he says, oh, well, I'm talking to myself. And I said, no, you can't talk to yourself. You are yourself. But you see, there's that little voice in there that is talking. And the only way he knows how to describe it is that he's talking to himself. But really, objectively speaking, there is a self within the self. See, there's not just one. There are two of you. And you know what I'm talking about. There's the conscious and the subconscious self. See? And there's a voice that talks to you. And it sounds like your voice. But it isn't. Because your voice isn't you. Your consciousness is who you really are. And if your voice has the power to control your consciousness, then wherever that voice is coming from, wherever those words are originating from, well, that source is what's guiding you. So you see, you can't help but be in a position right now of nurturing and protecting the idiosyncrasies and the weaknesses that are dragging you backward and pulling you down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does anybody out there understand what I'm saying? 1-800-866-8883. You're listening to the voice. But let me tell you something. You don't communicate with yourself verbally. You don't. That's not you. That's not you. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier in the program. When I was 18 years old, I knew, capital K-N-E-W, without a shadow of a doubt, that I needed to change my life. I knew, not by the in terms of a voice telling me, but by knowing, intuitively, deeply realizing, because I could see a future unfolding before me. A future of, up till that point, I hadn't been living the way I ought to live. Let's just put it that way. And I had been paying a price for it. And so what I could see objectively, without any voice telling me, is I could see I was in for more of the same and worse. Worse. Just like you are. You're in for more of the same and worse if you're going to listen to a voice that sounds like you instead of becoming self-observing. See, because if you're not self-observing, you're self-sabotaging. and you're counterintuitive. And that's why things don't work out. Does that make sense? Anybody get that? 1-800-866-8883. I can remember also one time when I was in the car with my dad, and I was, I think, probably just before I started meditating. So I was probably about 17. And I was thinking about it. And I knew something radical would change in my life if I did. So I said to my dad, if I start meditating, do I have to stop surfing? Do I have to give up surfing? In other words, I was thinking, well, what do I have to give up if I start to change my path? And I fully expected my dad to say, well, you probably won't think of it, you know, it won't be so important to you or whatever. And he said, no, you don't have to give up surfing. He never had any problem with me surfing. I mean, I started surfing when I was probably 10 years old. He said, as a matter of fact, you'll get better. I said, really? Oh, yeah, because, you know, your anxiety, your fear, you know, all of this mental stuff that goes on in your head, it'll all be wiped away, and you'll have a more clear vision of what you're doing. And I thought, wow, not in a million years did I expect that answer. You see, so I think that people that listen to this show, I don't think you realize that you are protecting something inside of you that you don't need to protect because you don't need it. It needs you. You don't need that voice talking to you. You can live your life without that voice. Because what does it do anyway? What does the voice that talks to you in your head, what does it do to you but sabotage you? Does that voice actually cause you to make good choices or decisions? 1-800-866-8880. I would love to talk to somebody who listens to that voice that sounds like them, that gives them all the right advice. 1-800-866-8883. Is there anybody out there that has that voice in them, that talks to them and gives them all the right advice? I'd love to talk to you because I know you don't exist. Because there's not one person in the world that listens to that voice that doesn't end up going the wrong direction, because that voice comes from selfishness. See? And it talks to you as if it were you. When I get back, I'm going to play a little piece of audio for you. I'm going to take a break here in a second. That explains this idea, this concept that there's a self within the self. And this was another radio program that I did some time ago, but I listened to this and I thought, this is it. This is the perfect explanation of what it means to become aware of the self that is not you. And so this may help you to understand when we talk about meditation, when we talk about be still and know. Now, that's a scripture, a biblical reference, be still and know. Says the scripture that I am God, not I, me, but a greater force than you. And what that force requires of you is acknowledgement, the higher power, that you are not God. And that your biggest problem is that you're playing that game, that God game, listening to that voice. Big mistake. All right, David Masters sitting in. 1-800-866-8883. I know somebody out there will be interested in what I'm going to play for you when we come back from this break. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Are you looking for timeless insights on forgiveness? relieving stress, and finding true faith and love? You want to find out what's at the root of marriage problems, family conflicts, success and failure? Roy Masters can help you with life issues, spirituality, and healing. Visit FHU.com today. Order classic Roy Masters videos, now on DVD. Sign up for new insights, Roy's monthly newsletter featuring articles, news, and sage advice. Browse Roy's books and lectures online, all at FHU.com. And now everyone can enjoy Roy Masters' Sunday conversations. They're personal, enlightening, and always uplifting. For a preview, listen at FHU.com. The foundation of human understanding depends on your tax-deductible financial support for this vital service. Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding is available to help you now. Just visit FHU.com.
Cruel people have power, and they get their energy from you through the way you respond to them. Hypocrites have the same wickedness operating through a deceptive shield of phony goodness. It too gets inside you by the way you react to them. Your life is in danger from people, some of them members of your own family, who chip away, harp, nag, aggravate the life out of you until you feel like killing them or yourself. But you can't fight them with anger, because they use your resentment to drive you crazy, to make you conform, to make you feel guilty, to bring out the worst in you, or terrify you into not facing them and their kind. But take heart. There's not a single problem in the world you can't solve if you'll only learn to stop being resentful. Set your browser to www.fhu.com, fhu.com, and get some answers.
The program you are hearing has been made possible by listeners like you. For over 40 years now, Roy Masters has been searching the airwaves for those ready to enact a positive, lasting change in their lives. His no-nonsense, direct approach cuts straight to the heart of his listeners' problems and saves them years of therapy and medications. His prison ministry enables lost souls to regain control of their lives and become productive members of society. And don't forget the many children who have benefited from their parents' understanding of Roy Masters' teachings. If you have been helped by this program, please help us to help others by making a regular donation to the Foundation of Human Understanding. However small, every little bit helps. Just call our office between 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time and ask about our convenient auto-debit program. The number is 800-877-3227. Without you, none of this could have been made possible. Thank you for your continued support.
You now have access to the Foundation of Human Understanding 24 hours a day. Visit our worldwide website at www.fhu.com. Miss one of our newsletters? All feature articles by Roy Masters can be found and downloaded here. Interested in some of our materials? Maybe you'd like to preview some of our books and audio tapes before you purchase? Visit www.fhu.com. Perhaps you've called when our offices are closed. Now you can order 24 hours a day securely on our fully interactive online catalog. How would you like to hear the very best of Roy Masters' current radio programs in their entirety instantly, anytime, night or day? You can at www.fhu.com. Curious about the meditation exercise taught by Roy Masters? Preview it now at our website. Visit us today and don't forget to sign up for our free email service. You'll be kept informed on upcoming lectures, website changes, sneak previews of our newsletters, and a host of other services. That's www.fhu.com. Get connected today.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
And welcome to Advice Line. I'm David Masters. 1-800-866-8883. That's the magic number. And we do have callers on. And if you will, David and Jane, please be patient with me for just a moment, because I promised to play something for you, which I think will help to clarify this issue of the two selves. So let me go ahead and I'm going to play this. It's about 3 minutes, and then I'll come back and we'll take some calls and we'll talk about it. Here it is. It's very critical that people understand the power that occurs when you learn to separate your mind from your thought process. Learning to be quiet means removing yourself as the experiencer and just being the observer. It doesn't really take that much to actually get quiet a few times a day and learn how to get centered in the moment. That's the most important thing anyone can do. It's the door. Be still and know. And the escaping mind runs from the stillness. That's where the thought cascade overwhelms you and drags you like a flash flood. But it happens all the time. You want a quick fix? I don't know if there is such a thing, honestly. Is there a quick fix? You tell me. That's outcome-based thinking. There is no quick fix. It's a process. There's a process involved in every form of personal evolution. And there's a process involved in every leap of personal progress. Thoughts are a natural activity of a brain. But the question is, can you differentiate between what is authentic to you and what has come into you from external sources? That's the big question. We do have authentic ideas of our own. We have insights, we have consciousness, and we can observe things in a unique way. In a crowd of a million people, you can observe things that a million other people will not observe in the same way that you observe it. So you're like a snowflake in the sense that there's no one else like you. But the problem is that we've all been imprinted with identities that have been formed from our relationship with our environment. And that is what we have come to believe is us. When you learn to step away from these thoughts that have been programmed into your mind, the first thing you discover is that, where did that thought come from? You begin to become aware of another self. It's not that you get rid of the thinking, but that you become aware of the thinking in a different way. It is the self that becomes aware of the thoughts that is the authentic you. There's a self within a self that becomes aware of the self that is not the self. The real us is not a thinker. The real us is a knower. Knowing is different than thinking. The word know, it literally means from the Latin, to know, to be intimate with, the source. And so the knower is different than the thinker because the thoughts that come through our mind are like images that flash across a TV screen. So what I'm saying, and this is very profound, is that there is a self within the self that observes this external person that we've become, and that is the real you. It is the observer of the self that we are not. That is who we really are. That's the authentic self. So what the purpose of meditation is not to do anything other than to move toward a place where you are comfortable in a state of quiet. Because as you start to let go of fear, anger, judgment, all of the things associated with all the negative experiences of life, if you're willing to let go, what will happen is you'll start to move naturally and effortlessly toward a place of peace. You cannot struggle to become a better person. The struggle itself is a problem. What you need to do is step back, step away from the struggle, step away from the outcome-based thinking, step away from the feeling-oriented lifestyle. And as you do, what you're stepping toward is the now.
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. That is a little piece of audio that I clipped out of another radio show that I did. And it's always the same theme for me, which is that there is a self which is authentic down below the self which has grown out of reacting and absorbing identity or id entity from its environment, from your family, from your culture, from your relationship, from your teachers, from feelings about any given thing. So if you'd like to talk about that, yes, let's do. Let's talk about it. 1-800-866-8883. Now I go to Jane in Washington. Jane, welcome to Advice Line. I'm David Masters.
Hi, David. Thanks for taking my call. That's exactly what I'm calling about. What I just heard on your recording was, there was a lot there, but
Let me just pause for a minute. There was a lot there in that little 3 minutes, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Almost enough that you could think about it for the rest of your life, in a sense, because this is how quintessential what my father and myself are teaching people. It is absolutely nothing more than essence. There's not a huge amount of stuff to learn.
No.
It isn't overwhelming. You don't have to go from step one to step two to step 24 to step 85. You go one moment at a time, one moment at a time. And change occurs incrementally as you step back away from trying to make it happen. So go ahead.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. I've been, I try to make it happen. I get really impatient with myself that I keep making the same mistakes.
Well, you're not. See, again, it's like talking to yourself. You're not really being impatient with yourself. That's not you.
That's not even me, is it?
No. That's somebody else who was impatient with you, and they imprinted you with that. And so it's almost like having a false conscience.
Yeah, and then I don't know where I am. I get lost.
But that's okay. See, don't get frustrated, because the frustration means that there's a will. There's a willfulness. Like, I want to get better.
Yeah.
But you don't get better by being angry about not being better.
Right.
See, through patience, possess ye your soul. So something to that effect, that's the scripture. Be patient now and let the process work. Don't get in and mess it up by trying to make it work faster. Because, you see, the beautiful part of it is that for everyone, there's a natural unfolding that occurs that's unique to you. See, only you can have the experience that you are going to have. And no one else will have a similar experience, because you're that unique little combination lock that each one of those little numbers has to be placed so that the lock can be opened. You see? And only by being patient and only by self-observation will you begin to see the little tiny, what I call linchpins that hold you to a life that you don't want to live.
Yeah.
See? And you can't make it happen. You can't make it happen any faster than it's going to happen. I used to use the analogy, Jane, that if you are going to plant a garden, you wouldn't wait 3 or 4 or 5 days and then start digging up the seeds to see if they're sprouting, because you would kill the process. You see my point?
Yeah.
You can't dig up the seeds of consciousness. You've just got to plant them and leave them alone.
But here's the thing. You know, I have a child, and I'm with him, you know, throughout the day, and I find myself resenting him, and I don't want to do that anymore.
Well, remember what I said about selfishness? No, I get it.
What?
I get what you're saying, but you see, this is your cross, in a sense, that you are a selfish person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you a single mother?
No.
Okay.
My husband, you know, corrects me because he's looking out for my son, and I'm so grateful that he can do that. You know, he sees what I'm doing. He knows, you know, he listens to you and Roy and knows what you're telling me. I mean, he knows this stuff, and he practices it, and so I'm grateful for that.
Well, how old is your child?
He's 6.
Same age as mine. And let me ask you, how does he deal with your impatience?
Well, it disturbs him, you know, it disturbs his peace. And then my husband will talk to him about it and help him to learn how to deal with it. But mostly, I need to stop doing it. I need to stop resenting him and being, you know, hateful and all these things.
Well, let me give you a key then, okay?
Okay.
Let this key begin to unlock one of your doors.
Okay.
Okay. And the key is this, is that your child challenges you to have the patience and love that was never given to you.
That's right.
And so this is why it's hard for you, because, you know, it's hard to give what you don't have. But see, because you do love your child, and I have no doubt that you do,
yeah,
this will bring out of you this new self, this authentic self, this self that is capable of being patient and having and giving love. And so you have to first, though, be patient with the self that you've become, because in a sense, the only way that you can get rid of that self that you've become is to give it the same love that you need to give your child. You see what I'm saying? In other words, if you're patient with yourself, because you say, well, I get so impatient with myself.
Right.
You see, it's the same problem that you have with yourself that you have with the environment around you.
Right.
So begin to notice that you are impatient, even like you get under pressure to get things done, like to get dinner done or to get, you
right.
always feel like you're on a deadline, don't you?
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you feel pressure and you resent that pressure.
Yeah.
See, and then that pressure spills over because then the child begins to need something from you, and then that just compounds everything.
Right.
And then you take it out on the child. But really, it isn't the child.
Right.
It's you.
Yeah.
And it's what it's that other self that's in there. Now, it's the authentic self.
I try to be good. You know, I try to.
No, no. You can't try to be good. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I'm just pretending, and that disturbs him as much as anything. It's the same thing.
Well, because he can see through it, see?
Yeah.
Because he's still somewhat authentic, if not really entirely authentic as a child.
He really is.
He knows the hi, honey,
yeah.
I love you. He knows that that's not you either.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So here's your key. Just start noticing yourself getting irritated with anything.
Uh-huh.
And that's your moment of truth. Because if you can let that moment pass, the next moment will be a free moment. See? But every moment that you allow yourself to be affected, it's beginning to build. The sands of the hourglass are building up, and then it becomes a pressure, a bubble breaks, and all this stuff spills out.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first key to unlock your door.
Okay.
Be patient.
Each moment, each little
thing. That's it. And then the authentic self that you want to be will grow naturally. See, there's no effort involved. You can't force it to grow. You can't, I notice that there are people like talking about a garden. Some people use all these special fertilizers and they want their plants to be extra big and extra beautiful. And I guess that's okay, but there's the fertilizer and the ingredients that you need are all found in the now.
Yeah.
See? Everything that you need to build the most beautiful possible self that you can have, all of that is in the now. It's all contained in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really your target. It's just notice yourself being irritated by stupid little things and just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have better days. And, ultimately, you'll grow up. You'll grow up and you'll be a happier person. And your child will forget all the things that you've done, all the stupid things, all the impatience. It will just be water under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay. I've seen my husband do that. He's so patient now. I mean, it's just wonderful.
But see, it's natural, and it will be with you too, okay? I appreciate your call, and I know that you'll be better. 1-800-866-8883. This is program 5071. Copies are always available by calling 1-800-877-3227. Or visit the website, FHU.com. Don't go away. I'll be right back. It's David Masters sitting in for Roy Masters.
An ancient inner voice calls to each of us from deep within. From the silence it whispers, then waits for the slightest recognition. It's the liberating voice of conscience attempting to retrieve us from captivity. Everyone wants freedom, but real freedom requires us to be still and know the truth. Are you ready for freedom? Then visit the Foundation of Human Understanding on the World Wide Web at www.fhu.com. Our cyber connection is an emotional oasis in a vast desert of intellectualism. At www.fhu.com, you can download feature articles from our newsletter, preview our books and audio materials, listen to over 30 in-depth discussions from our syndicated radio show, listen to the observation concentration exercise that will change your way of dealing with stress, and purchase materials from our interactive online catalog. To change your future, visit www.fhu.com today.
Roy Masters' book, How to Survive Your Parents, explains how the process of becoming a good parent is in itself a growing up experience. Unfortunately, most parents have had little, if any, corrective love in their formative years. As a result, they bring with them into marriage the shortcomings of their parents. More often than not, a man becomes just another child to his wife, competing with baby for mama's affections. When husbands and wives are immature, they are on the same emotional level as their children. So in addition to their own childish conflicts with one another, they also fail to correctly deal with their children's immature rivalry. As a result, everyone in the family is in conflict because there is no referee, no modifying factor of proper authority in the home. This is what's behind all family tragedies. How to survive your parents. To order, call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227.
Are you looking for timeless insights on forgiveness, relieving stress, and finding true faith and love? You want to find out what's at the root of marriage problems, family conflicts, success and failure? Roy Masters can help you with life issues, spirituality, and healing. Visit FHU.com today. Order classic Roy Masters videos, now on DVD. Sign up for New Insights, Roy's monthly newsletter featuring articles, news, and sage advice. Browse Roy's books and lectures online, all at FHU.com. And now everyone can enjoy Roy Masters' Sunday conversations. They're personal, enlightening, and always uplifting. For a preview, listen at FHU.com. The foundation of human understanding depends on your tax-deductible financial support for this vital service. Roy Masters and the foundation of human understanding is available to help you now. Just visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
And welcome. It is Advice Line. I'm David Masters, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. You have questions that you need clarification on, things that my dad's talked about. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. 1-800-866-8883. Yes. Aha. We have a little interference coming in from another board. So we need to make sure that we get off that. All right. Let's go to our caller, David, who is in San Diego.
Hello, David.
Yes, you are on. Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, David. I'd like to know, I'm working on meditation, and it seems that I can't get a blank mind. Am I supposed to get a blank mind? Or
no, you're not supposed to get a blank mind. No, you don't need to have a blank mind.
Okay, because I can't get one. Or I have a hard time trying.
No, but see, I mean, if you're really – are you using the CD, the meditation CD, or the
– No, I'm just working on getting meditating and –
Hold on. I mean, it would be like saying I'm an architect, but I haven't been to school, so I don't know what I'm doing.
There you go.
Okay. So why haven't you gotten the CD? You can download it for free off of FHU.com.
I didn't even know about it till tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a special technique. It's very simple. And have you heard the show before?
On occasion I listen to the show, but not that often. I just happen to be driving tonight and they're listening to it.
Okay. Well, so you kind of get where I'm coming from then.
Yes.
Yeah, see that there's an authentic self within yourself that can see the self that you are not.
Okay.
But the way that you do that is to learn to become objective, which means you pull back away from your emotional mind, away from your thinking process. So you don't clear your mind at all. It's almost like, you know, when you're channel surfing.
Yeah.
And you hit the channel and you say, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Basically, meditation allows you to go through your thoughts almost exactly the same way and never get stuck with any thought that clings to your mind and begins to then dominate your thinking and your feelings and your processes, your mental processes. It allows you to become removed from the thinking processes. And that's the power, because you could still see your thoughts, David.
Right.
But your thoughts are not in control of you. They don't have any power to make you feel one thing or another.
Okay,
see, this is the problem with most people, is that they are sinking in their thinking. And then they struggle with their thoughts, like people that have thoughts of suicide. It's a thought. Okay? But it's so powerful. It's such a powerful thought that people pull the trigger or take an overdose of pills. It's just a thought.
Right.
And yet they give it power by not taking their attention off of it.
Not letting it go, yeah.
That's right.
I used to tell my mother, she brings up bad things that happen. I say, Mother, you're just keeping them alive by bringing them up.
True. But see, but people that have those that way of you know, remembering everything that ever happened, they don't want to give you a free pass. They want to keep reminding you of how you've hurt them. See, that's the only power that those kind of people have, though, David.
Yeah, well, it wasn't directed toward me. It was just other things. But
well, how would you like for me to send you, David, a free CD?
Okay, well, if I can download it, that's cool. I can get on the internet and do that.
Okay, you could do that too.
Sure.
Put it on your desktop, burn it to CD. It's an MP3.
Okay. I've got the information because I've been listening to you for the last 20 minutes.
Awesome. FHU.com. That's all you have to do. Please do me a favor. Call back the show after you've been meditating for a week or two, and we'll talk about what's going on with you.
Okay. How often are you on?
We're on every night. Every night from 9 to midnight Pacific time.
Okay, because I'm on the Vegas station because I go to Vegas a lot. So I'll just catch you when after I listen to it for about 2 weeks, and I probably am doing it right. I just don't know it.
Well, you see, I said there are people that have it naturally, and you may be one of them. But even if you don't, this will help you tweak it so that it is really, really the real thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like you say, you got to learn what you're doing, otherwise you don't know if you're doing it right.
Absolutely. That's true.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate your program.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your call. All right. Yes, you can go to the website, FHU.com. You can download the meditation exercise as taught by my father, Roy Masters. It's called Be Still and Know. That's all it really takes. But you see, you've got to have a method by which you come to this place of quiet, of inner quiet, of inner objectivity. Because if you're not objective, if you're not in an objective state, you're in a subjective state. And you're subject to your thoughts and the effects of other people upon you. This has been program 5071, again, FHU.com, or call for information Monday through Friday, regular business hours, West Coast time, 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters.
The program you are hearing has been made possible by listeners like you. For over 40 years now, Roy Masters has been searching the airwaves for those ready to enact a positive, lasting change in their lives. His no-nonsense, direct approach cuts straight to the heart of his listeners' problems and saves them years of therapy and medications. His prison ministry enables lost souls to regain control of their lives and become productive members of society. And don't forget the many children who have benefited from their parents' understanding of Roy Masters' teachings. If you have been helped by this program, please help us to help others by making a regular donation to the Foundation of Human Understanding. However small, every little bit helps. Just call our office between 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time and ask about our convenient auto debit program. The number is 800-877-3227. Without you, none of this could have been made possible. Thank you for your continued support.
Are you looking for timeless insights on forgiveness, relieving stress, and finding true faith and love? You want to find out what's at the root of marriage problems, family conflicts, success and failure? Roy Masters can help you with life issues, spirituality, and healing. Visit FHU.com today. Order classic Roy Masters videos, now on DVD. Sign up for new insights, Roy's monthly newsletter featuring articles, news, and sage advice. Browse Roy's books and lectures online, all at FHU.com. And now everyone can enjoy Roy Masters' Sunday conversations. They're personal, enlightening, and always uplifting. For a preview, listen at FHU.com. The foundation of human understanding depends on your tax-deductible financial support for this vital service. Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding is available to help you now. Just visit FHU.com.